Lord, may the words in my mouth be pleasing unto you. May the words from my heart be as well. And I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So well, there was this little old lady, and she was right behind the bus driver. And every 10 minutes, she would pipe in, "Have we reached Oriskany Falls yet, Sonny?" And of course, the man said, "No, lady, not yet." And time after time, he would reply the same thing, "No, not yet, we're not there yet." And as each hour passed, she kept asking the driver. And then finally, the little town came into view, and the driver saw some final relief. He slammed on the brakes, he pulled over and yelled out, "There you are, lady, get out, this is Oriskany Falls." And she looked at him, and she said, "Oh, I'm going all the way to Albany." "It's just that my daughter told me to take my blood pressure medication when I got to Oriskany Falls." Oh, where do I find these? On the internet. Have you ever been in a car with someone, or in a bus, or a train, or a plane? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We've all heard that, right, at some point in our lives. But do you wonder whether you actually truly have ever really arrived at any place that you're trying to get to? You know, traveling far enough, or you've arrived at where you want to be, the destination that you want to be at in your life. Well, we're here in this final leg of a series that we're calling the Generosity Challenge. It was written by Scott McKenzie and Christine Miller. And the series is challenging us to develop a spiritual discipline of generosity. No matter where we are in our faith journey, it's important that we learn how to have a better understanding of what it means to be generous and giving and faithful. So we began this journey, and the first thing we learned was that we are all born to be generous. And why is that? Because we were made in God's image. God created humankind in his image. In the image, God created man, and male and female, he created them. That's Genesis 1, verse 27. So two important characteristics about God that we've discovered is that God is loving and God is giving. And being born to be generous out of love, well, that's just ingrained in our DNA. So Jesus, we heard the story how he tells this young rich man to go sell off all his possessions and come follow me. And Jesus, all he really wanted was this young man's heart. He wanted his whole self, and that's what he wants from every one of us too. So being like Jesus Christ, being Christ-like, isn't easy in the world in which we live in. And so many times there are distractions and temptations, of course. You can't help but, you know, walk down the store and look in the window and see, you know, something that looks exciting. And you say, "Gosh, I'd love to have that." Or a car that drives by and you say, "Man, that would be great to own that car." We are just tempted all the time. But there is a way in which we don't have to be so tempted by all these things. There is a way that we can be on a journey and not do it alone. And that's by using what we created as called a GPS. So for our purposes, the GPS, this turn-by-turn directional system that is going to get us on that roadmap to the journey for gratitude, is represented in an acronym, GPS. G stands for grounded in gratitude. The P stands for revealed in prayer. And today we're going to learn about the S. So we're almost there. We're definitely better than where we were before. We're getting a little closer to understanding the importance of listening to God, and how important it is to be led by him. So let me ask you a few questions. These are things that you can ponder this week. If you want to even write them down, be glad for you to do that for yourselves. So the first one is, have you felt God asking you to do something that you had not planned to do? Have you often had God encourage you to go somewhere that you didn't really feel you wanted to go because you felt it might be scary or it might be uncomfortable? Maybe it was even coming here this morning. And have you ever felt or thought that the Holy Spirit was grabbing a hold of your heart and whispering to you at the same time, "You aren't quite there yet"? Have you ever been nudged by God to just go a little bit further in your walk with him? Well, there are many times in our lives where God is nudging each and every one of us. Yes, God will challenge us to willingly go and faithfully respond. So the last leg of this journey, this GPS, is the S, which is a journey that is sealed by faith. So our journey to become the loving and generous people that we were born to be is G, grounded in gratitude, P, revealed through prayer, and S, sealed by faith. This is our generosity GPS. So the final part of our generosity journey is being willing to faithfully go and do according to God's will rather than our own will. Now I'm going to add a little disclaimer here, and that is that you ultimately have that choice, though. You have free will, you have a choice. You can either follow God's will for your life or not. But not everyone in the world feels that they're free to make those kinds of decisions or choices in their lives. There are people that you may have been one of them, or people that you know that are living in situations where choice doesn't seem to be an option. I want to tell you the story of a woman by the name of Audrey. She is a woman that listens for God's voice. Audrey has this immense gratitude for God. It's a blessing to her. It's evident in the choices that she makes in her life and the way she lives her life daily. She prays about her decisions and she works hard at being obedient to what she feels God is calling her to do. In fact, over the years, one would say she has this direct line to God. Hello, God. Have you ever seen those men out on the football field that wear those mics? I think that's what they're doing, too. For many of us, though, that connection doesn't seem to get but muddled. And for Audrey, though, God's voice seems perfectly clear. So every day on her way to work, Audrey drives by and she takes this route past a woman's prison. Surrounding the buildings are these large, you can just see them, fences with the barbed wire wrapped around the tops of them. And of course, every time she passes by, she sees the women sitting outside on the tables, you know, enjoying the little bit of sunshine they may get at the picnic tables and walking around. But one day she drove by and she felt there was something nudging her to stop. Even though she would drive by and pray for these incarcerated women and their families, this one day she just felt the nudge, and next thing you know, she's pulling in. She's face to face with this guard with this very serious face, very intimidating individual who would never have laughed at any of my corny jokes. This guard had this humorlessness about him, this disposition. She felt awkward. But Audrey explained that she felt that God had pushed her to visit the facility and was asking how she could volunteer. So the guard handed Audrey a business card for the volunteer coordinator, and she drove away, and she felt God's nudge to go to this unfamiliar place that was uncomfortable and scary. Well, the nudge led to Audrey starting a Bible study there at the prison. And she began to share Jesus' message of love and gratitude and hope to these women. By bravely following God's nudge, God's directive, Audrey became a blessing to hundreds of women and their families. Could you imagine doing the same? Would you be bold enough and obedient enough to do the same? I think I'd probably keep driving by and totally disregarding God's nudge, because to me that seems scary. And I bet that would seem scary to a lot of you too. You see, we hear God's voice and we see these nudges, but we just keep on going. We just keep ignoring them because many of us tell ourselves that, nah, that's not God. That must be something else. That's not Him saying that to me. So last Saturday afternoon, I was watching this movie on Netflix. It was called Holiday in the Wild. Maybe you've seen it. It's a story about a woman who changes her life after visiting an elephant rescue reserve in Africa. It was a good movie, and it teaches you some lessons, and I recommend it. But I knew that I had to get ready because I was meeting another pastor for dinner. So as I was getting ready, I opened my jewelry box, and I hadn't noticed it in a long time, but there was this little pin with this little elephant on it. And I thought, wow, that's a coincidence. Just saw a movie about an elephant. And then I'm driving down to Naples, and the next thing you know, I see this sign that says Naples Zoo. Another coincidence. And then I drove a little bit further on Highway 41, and there's this business that has these bronze statues. There must be five elephants, like big, small, little. Have you seen it? I'm like, okay, not so much a coincidence anymore, right? No, it's just me, right? It's not God saying anything. This isn't a coincidence. So I asked myself, Kim, is God trying to share a message with you? Even if it seems so ridiculous. About elephants. What does that have to do with anything? Many of us would just simply tell ourselves this isn't God at all. So have you ever felt God nudging you to go where you felt uncomfortable or it was scary, to do more, to love more, to give more of yourself? Being willing to go and do and love and give where God is just leading you requires something very important, and that's faith. So here's the main takeaway for today. If you get nothing out of this sermon, I hope you'll get this. Following God's directive means giving up control and relying on God. Following God's directive means giving up control and relying on God. The key that unlocks the door is sealed by faith. It means trusting that God's plan for us is better than the plan that we have for ourselves. It's heeding God's gentle or maybe sometimes not so gentle nudge. It means stepping out in faith and trust in God. It means following God's lead and going to unexpected places that can change the lives of others forever. And it means listening to God with a willing heart that requires courage. But the results, they can be transformational. At the beginning of the series, I started telling everyone about how I stepped out of my comfort zone. I traveled across the U.S. to Seattle, Washington, and found myself in a church, dinner churches with people who were homeless. And for me, the result was transformational. Not just for me, but for everyone that was present, because we were impacting one another through Christ-likeness. And that was brought into the dining room by all those that came to go and do and love and give of their time. So what does this transformational part have to do with it? Well, Merriam-Webster defines transformation as the act or process of changing completely. Transformation results from a commitment to follow God's will, utilizing all our resources, our mind, our bodies, our intellect, our spirit, and of course, all that we have that we can give back to God that He has given to us. Transformation is possible when we open ourselves up to God's direction and express Christ-likeness through generosity. So on the front of your bulletin, you'll notice there is a mission statement. It's the same mission of the United Methodist Church. It's the same mission that Jesus Christ presented to the disciples. And I want you to read that with me. It's to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Do you think it's possible to experience transformation and change the world? Is it possible for generosity to change you completely? Can you imagine God using your generosity to transform the lives of others around you? I hope you're beginning to say yes. Or maybe. A definite maybe. I want to recall a story in the Old Testament. The story of Abram. God directed Abram to go to a very uncomfortable place. And Abram's prayerful willingness to go resulted in transformation. Abram, the fatherless, becomes Abraham, the father of many. Abraham's personal transformation and faithful willingness has forever changed the lives of millions, as the scripture says, as numerous as the stars. Well, there's another story found this time in the New Testament. It's one that I want to explore with you today. It's told in the Gospel of Luke. It's at chapter 19. verses 1 through 10. So let me set this up for you. There's Zacchaeus. He's the chief tax collector. He is a very wealthy individual. His wealth and position are likely have become or come about because of extorting money and pressuring the citizens of Jericho. So Jesus is passing through this town. He wants to get a better view of Jesus, this Zacchaeus, and so he climbs a tree. So let's start at verse 1. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. Have you ever climbed a tree? I have. I loved climbing trees when I was a kid. We had lots of big trees, right, in the backyards. And I love to do that. I even love watching those shows on television where the people are building these houses in the trees. Have you ever seen that? It's crazy. But now, of course, we have drones and Google Earth, so who needs to climb a tree, right? And by the way, did you know that trees and elephants have something in common? They both have trunks, yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, I just had to make sure you were awake. So anyway, when here's Jesus, he saw Zacchaeus, and he's up in this tree, and he calls to him, and he says, "Hey, Zacchaeus." And Zacchaeus is going, "He knows my name. That man knows my name." And then he says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I'm coming over to your house for dinner." And he's like, "Oh, wow, Jesus is coming over to my house for dinner." And the crowd, they get surprised, and they start expressing this disdain. Why is he going to his house? You know, he's a sinner. Let's go back to verse 5. So when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He's gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." So he's going to give half to the poor what he has, and not half, but four times as much to anyone that he's defrauded or cheated. Verse 9, then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Can you read that one with me, the last verse? "For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." If you've ever felt lost, I want you to know that Jesus Christ came to save you too. A son of Abraham, he says. And Jesus, the Son of Man, who's come to find many. And so did Zacchaeus. He came to find the one. Just the one that was lost. Jesus comes and he finds him up in a tree. The same way that Jesus healed the leper in Luke 17. Jesus and Zacchaeus, there was healing going on there too. And Zacchaeus was healed and saved by his faith. And Jesus spent time with Zacchaeus in order for him to experience transformation. Spending time with Jesus is what happens when we listen to or we read the stories in Scripture. When we spend time with him, transformation happens. And unlike the rich young man that Jesus talked to himself personally, that young man walked away from a gift, a true gift, in search for something else, possessions. And Zacchaeus, though, was willing to listen to God and was willing to let go of it all. So consider the words of 1 Timothy 6:10. "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from their faith and pierced themselves with many pains." By responding faithfully, Zacchaeus returned home to become the loving and giving person that he was born to be. And Jesus transformed him and his sinful nature. This week, I hope you will think about these next few questions. Do you want to experience transformation? Do you? Do you believe that you can be completely changed through generosity? And are you willing to follow God if it means transformation for you and those around you might be uncomfortable or scary? Eugene Peterson, who's translated the scripture, he has a Bible called the Message Bible. It's in more modern day language. He also wrote a book called Run with the Horses, and he writes in this quote, "Giving is what we do best. It is the air into which we were born. It is the action that was designed into us before our birth." Folks, it truly is in our DNA. It's who we are called to be by God. From our birth, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God and marked as Christ's own forever. We're born to be generous, a journey that is grounded in gratitude, revealed in prayer, and sealed by faith. This GPS will restore our identity as a beloved child of God. Oh, and if you were wondering what I heard from God regarding those coincidental elephant sightings, here's what I think I heard from God. Communication, what I've learned, is vital to elephants. They rely on a social network to survive, just as we do. So communication is not only vital to elephants, it's vital to all of us. We need one another. Elephants mostly communicate through these low frequency sound waves called rumblings. In fact, elephants are capable of producing piercing sounds one or two octaves lower. That's like lower than you, Barry. Right? Two octaves lower than Barry, and the bass is back there. But you need to listen to God's rumbling when you feel or you think that you should go and do and give. And did you know that elephants have the ability to judge the distance from one elephant to another based on pitch of a call that is literally octaves below something that we could probably not even hear? We need to pay attention to God's call on our lives, no matter how far away God seems to be. God is closer to us than you know. Recent discoveries have even shown that elephants communicate over long distances by producing subsonic rumbles that travel through the ground faster than through the air. In fact, elephants receive messages through their sensitive skin on their feet and those trunks. We need to identify God's rumblings when we feel those same sensations that urge us to go a different direction. And the last thing I learned about elephants is that they are some of the most intelligent animals on earth. Their brains weigh 11 pounds, much more than the brain of any other land animal. Their brains are complex, and whales have a similar brain. But it's which thought to be a major factor, though, this brain, the size of their brain, to be a part of their intellect. Because these elephants have such a large brain, elephants never forget. Never forget that you were born in God's loving and giving image. You were born to transform the world. You were born to change forever. The moment that Jesus opened up his heart for everyone to see. You were changed forever when Jesus taught us to become more loving and more generous in God's Spirit. So I invite you to come out on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock in the office. We have a group that's coming together and we're discussing things. And this week we're going to talk about faith. And then next Sunday we're going to continue learning more about faith as we travel on to a new journey. This one's a series called Faith. It's Faithful Christmas Through the Eyes of Joseph. Yes, it's hard to believe that Christmas is actually upon us. But from the beginning, there's this man, Joseph. He's humble. He's a carpenter. and to his all-important role as an earthly father to Jesus Christ, Joseph's place in the nativity story is something that is usually overlooked. It's one of those things that we just keep walking right past when we're reading scripture, when we tell the Christmas story. We never stop and think about, what was it like for Joseph? So we're going to explore this man's faith. And then we're going to not only explore his faith, but this is a man who never spoke a single word in scripture. But we're going to look at his courage and his actions, because he traveled to places where no one would have gone. When he heard an angel say, go, he went. So we're going to continue this journey of this GPS to see how Joseph traveled great distances. Through this season of Thanksgiving, I want you to continue to develop your heart of Christ-likeness that is grounded in gratitude, revealed through prayer, and sealed by faith. Let's pray. God of trees and pathways, you stand ready for us to gaze in your direction. As Jesus walked down the Jericho path, observing Zacchaeus, Lord, help us to remember that you are continually present. You're continuously crossing our path, watching and guiding our every step. When we falter, pick us up, dust us off, and place us back on the right path. When we run in directions that are harmful, rescue and redeem us. When we shout our disbelief, offer to us your love and receive us. Today, as we have gathered, remembering all those who have gone before us, who have paved the way of our faith, help us to be aware that we stand in the same long line of witnesses to your love. Give us courage and strength to serve you in all that we do. Remind us again that you are not looking for us to be perfect, but only for you. Will you take us and take our rough edges and make them smooth again? Lord, we're like rough stones. Help us sparkle like gems. Help us learn to serve and witness to your love through generosity. Let us place our trust and our faith in you. Let us give over our lives in your loving care. For we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, if you would, it's not in the bulletin, but if you would turn with me to number 881 in the hymnal, it's the Apostles'